Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Welcome in. It is the aforementioned show. Mike Maxey here as well. Lots to get to on tonight's show. We will check in with Gary Wolfel, who's at Fox Draft headquarters, coming up here in segment number two of the show. And then if you are new to this show, this is our 11th year doing the show. This is how this works. So we kind of go pick by pick, team by team, give our analysis of every pick, talk in between picks. Very similar to Gary and Bill and how they do their draft show. We've been doing both shows pretty much the same way since we started the station in 2005. So that's kind of how it goes. After the Bucks make their pick, we'll take calls, take reaction, what you all think about that pick. And then if we're still on the air for the Bucks' second round pick, we'll do the same thing. Show goes till 10 o'clock tonight, and we'll see how this whole thing plays out going forward. Mike Maxey, sportsboys.com, is here, and you've been my co-host every single year. Even though the last couple of years haven't worked out so good for me, you've been here for every show, so that's been good. First things first, your thoughts, I guess, first on the Dwight Howard trade leading up to tonight, him on his way from Atlanta to Charlotte.
Well, first of all, on the court, are we?
Yeah, you're good.
All right. First of all, on the court, it seems to be a pretty good move for the Hornets. They're going to get the man in the middle that they've been trying to get, that they've been basically trying to fill all for the last couple seasons. Atlanta just they're in a full rebuild. They're just going to dismantle everything. They got a couple nice wings last year in the draft. I'm sure they're going to try to keep Tim Hardaway Jr., but they're just definitely going to go away from the big money that they're spending. They're probably going to let Paul Millsap go. So this was kind of like the start of rebuilding for Atlanta. But for Charlotte, I really like it. On the court, they're going to be – they could be a force to be reckoned with, at least in the top half of the East.
See, that's just it for me. I mean, when you look at the Eastern Conference right now and you look at where the Bucks stack up in the Eastern Conference, and that's what this night is all about, seeing how the Bucks can climb that ladder. Now, earlier today there was a report that the Bucks are one of a few teams trying to trade up to picks 10 to 14. And that's where they're trying to go. Now, there was another report from Steve Kuyler that said they have already made a promise to Bam. How do you say his last name?
Adebayo.
Sure. From Kentucky, the center. And we'll see if that comes to fruition at pick 17. He was invited to the green room in New York. People were shocked that he was invited to the green room in New York. If he was promised to a team that's selecting there in the first round, that would make sense of why he is there. Your thoughts on both as far as trading up versus possibly making a promise to Bam?
Well, the fact that Bam's there doesn't surprise me because I think he'll be there.
I
think he's one of the best 20 players in this draft. I'm talking about in the green room. This is one of the best. He's one of the best 20 players that is in this draft. As far as the Bucks, they're going to have a plethora of different options as far as power forwards and centers and that kind of position. You know, legit five men or guys who can step out and play some perimeter defense. So I think that with all the options that they have, the fact that they keyed in on Bam, if that is really their choice, is a little surprising because I think this draft is going to be so unpredictable.
You know, when you talk about this draft and where the Bucks are at, does a player at 17 or even a player 10 to 14, let's say they move up to between 10 and 17, they pick somewhere in that area, okay? Let's say that happens. Can a player there make them good enough to get over a team or two in the Eastern Conference?
Well, here's how I like to break down the first round. If you got a pick from 1 to 10, you expect him to be a starter.
Sure.
If you have a pick from 11 to 20, you expect him to be a rotation player.
First year,
yes.
Okay.
And if you're picking from 21 to 30, you know that there's a little bit of a developmental. I mean, every now and then there's a Jimmy Butler who was picked late in the first round.
But
or
the problem is, with that philosophy, it doesn't work for the Bucks.
No,
because Giannis was not that guy. He was too raw. Thon Maker was not that guy. He was too raw. Rashad Vaughn just never worked in that first year or second year, really. And that hasn't worked either. They've taken guys with huge upside that they know our projects going forward. Now, again, with John Horst, the new general manager, who's been under Hammond this whole time, you would assume that this will continue.
You would think so, but I have no idea what they're thinking.
Nobody does.
I mean, like, their mindset. Like, you knew Hammond was going to take a gamble. He liked to take gambles. He took one with Giannis. It worked out phenomenally. He took one with Thon, which looks like that's going to work out good. Parker was a no-brainer. I know he's had injury problems. But I could see them taking 15 different guys.
See, this is the issue for me, though. Because we talk about Charlotte and Dwight Howard, right? And you're saying, well, maybe that gets them in the top five in the East. Well, where are the Bucks then coming into tonight in the East in your mind? Obviously, Cleveland is one for now. After next year, after the next season, they maybe go right back down in the middle of the bottom of the pack if LeBron leaves.
We'll cross that bridge when
right.
it happens.
So they're one. Cleveland's one. Then what? And then is Toronto two?
No,
is it Boston two?
It's going to be Boston. I think Boston has taken that. They've legitimately become the second team in the East. I don't think there's Toronto's got a lot of – Toronto's going to lose Kyle Lowry.
He's leaving by all indications.
I am getting very confident he's going to go. He's going to be gone. So they're going to take a step back. So there's teams like Charlotte that can take that because I think Kemba is taking each year he seems to be getting better and better.
I like him with Dwight Howard.
So do I.
I think it's a good trade for them.
Oh, absolutely. And absolutely. His scoring and penetrating and his ability to dish once he gets into the lane are going to help out Dwight Howard. He's going to be able to bring in the defense. So I think if the Bucks can – I think the Bucks are going to more have to make a trade probably to really – maybe make that leap into the top three or four.
Right.
But I think that they could still take a player here and get a rotation player. I mean, if they go with a big man like a Jared Allen or a Giles, you know that they're third on the depth chart behind Thon and Greg Monroe. But we all know Greg Monroe's in his last year of his contract. There's a good chance that he could be bye-bye. So midseason, now you insert player you just drafted
right.
and get him minutes. You know, they put Thon in the starting lineup basically to have Greg Monroe on the second unit. But I think Thon is going to establish himself, and I think once they're convinced that Thon is a capable starting center, which I think will happen this year, I think Greg Monroe's bye-bye, and they'll try to fill his backup role with someone else.
But this is the issue, though, with Greg Monroe, is he's the only guy that gives you consistent scoring off the bench currently. So when you go into this draft, if you're talking about now, then in my mind you need a scorer. Regardless of position, that can come off the bench and give you points every night consistently. I don't know if that player exists at pick 17. So then you say, well, we're not going to get that at 17, Sparky. What else do you want? Okay, if we're not going to get that at 17, then you have to figure out what your bench is going to look like behind the starting five of, as of right now, Brogdon, Middleton, Parker, Giannis, and Thon. That's your five. Unless you find somebody better than Brogdon.
And then but you that's put them on your bench. Right.
But as of right now, that's your five. So now you have to look at, okay, at 17, can I get a rotational player that can be on a championship team in, say, 4 or 5 years as a backup to one of those guys at 17? Now, this Bam character, who, again, according to Steve Kyler, they may have a promise with, if this Bam character, who the comparisons we saw earlier in the Big Show was Ben Wallace, an undersized center that blocks and rebounds, not much offensively, if he's that backup guy where he can come in, Thon can slide over to the four and still stretch the floor and let him play inside, okay, I'm all right with that. Again, he's not going to score. I'm okay with that. Now, if it's Giles, who I like, but three knee surgeries, a lot of people are scared off by, but if it's him and you look at him and go, he could be a star, then in my mind you look at that and go, that's insurance in case Jabari doesn't work out coming off of his two torn ACLs. So there's different ways to look at what they want out of this pick, I guess.
The thing with Giles, who I am a fan of as well, the problem with him is his range is so great right now. I've seen him anywhere from 10 to 40.
Yep.
So Sacramento likes him, I know. Do they like him at 10? Probably not. He's probably going to fall into the mid-first round.
I don't think you can take him at 10.
No.
There's
but
a lot just, of gamble on him at 10.
I'm just telling you, that's why I said Sacramento right. likes him. I don't think they will take him at 10.
Right.
But, like, a guy I really love is Jared Allen. I just love
from Texas, the center.
I just love the way that he defends pick and rolls. And if you've been watching basketball, there's a lot of pick and rolls. Mm-hmm. The guys, the centers, and that's why Thon's going to be valuable because he's quick enough where a Steph Curry or a Kyrie can't get – if they do get around him, it's not by much, and he can still make up for it. They like to put the centers in these pick and rolls, but now these athletic centers, they're becoming so valuable. And that's where Dwight Howard is kind of at a disadvantage because you bring him away from the basket.
Right.
So there's a lot of – that's why I love Jared Allen. I've watched him multiple times this year. I love the way that he switches, and he kind of reminds me of a Thon Light, kind of the same type of player, a little raw, but has potential. Now, with Giles, I think Giles has a higher ceiling than Jared Allen.
I agree.
The problem is he's kind of a gamble because of injury problems. But he was the number one ranked high school player coming into his junior year his class. And then I think he was top five still going into his senior year.
What made me laugh was I saw a report that Portland likes Giles because Portland has never had any problems with players with knee injuries. I mean, why wouldn't Portland like Giles?
Right. That makes sense. Well, and this is my opinion only. The reason I think that they like him is because they have three picks. And you can always gamble when you have three picks.
Absolutely.
Because that's another reason. I think in my mock draft, I haven't taken OG from Indiana because guess what? He's missing probably a good portion of
this
season.
Yep.
So Portland is a team that could take a Giles because they can gamble on it. Whether to take him at 15 or 20.
We'll see what the latest is coming up from Bucks Draft Headquarters. Gary Wolfler, our basketball insider, is down there. We'll talk to him coming up. Let me tell you about some of the stuff going on here at Q Club of Wisconsin in Waukesha. Master Z's has provided a bunch of autographed stuff for us. An autographed basketball by Bobby Dandridge we're giving away. And an autographed Chris Milton, 11x14 picture as well. Both of those being given away tonight. I'll let you know when we have everything set up for you to start getting tickets for that. Also, the Bucks are here. Milwaukee Bucks are in the house. They have an autographed Rashad Vaughn hat that will be drawing after the Bucks pick tonight to be given away. And they also have two tickets to the last opening night at the BC. Last opening night you'll ever be able to attend at the BC. We have two tickets to give away to that for the Bucks home opener coming up this season. Both of those will give away after the Bucks make their selection. The Bucks gentleman is standing over here to, I guess, if you're looking at us, you're right. Over there with the blue shirt on. Philip is his name. Go say hi to Philip. Drop off your name and stuff, and then we will call the winner of those two prizes. Again, courtesy of the Milwaukee Bucks here in the house. So if you're coming out here to Q Club of Wisconsin, get signed up for all those great giveaways tonight. Take advantage of some fun specials out here, and again, we'll go pick by pick. The one rule on this show that I instituted a couple years ago because I hate Twitter ruining my draft is this. We don't look at Twitter once the draft starts. We do not. Because what Twitter will do is Twitter will tell you three picks before TV tells you what the picks are, and then there's no point of watching on TV. So we're not going to do that. It drives my partner, Mike Maxie, crazy. He hates the rule. But we have a producer back at the studios, will tell us in our ear if there's a trade or something's going on. Mayor Mitch has done this show for a number of years now.
I have permission to look.
You have permission to look to tell us trades and so forth, right? If the Bucks make a trade, tell us. If somebody else makes a trade, tell us. But I don't want to know picks ahead of time. Okay. That's not part of it.
All you got to do is follow Woj.
Yep.
That's all you got to do.
Oh, yeah.
Don't follow anyone from ESPN because they're all being fired.
Wojnarowski probably already tweeted out the first round. So whatever. So that's how this is going to work here this evening. We'll come back. We'll talk with Gary Wolfel. See the latest from Bucks headquarters next here on The Fan.
The Fan's exclusive coverage of the Pro Hoops Draft. Live from the Q Club of Wisconsin and Waukesha. Installed by PrecisionSportsOnline.com. Precision Sports specializes in the delivery, installation, removal, and repair of basketball hoops, exercise equipment, game tables, and backyard playgrounds. Go to PrecisionSportsOnline.com. This is the Milwaukee Bucks Draft Show with Steve Sparky Pfeiffer.
All right, welcome back. Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, Mike Maxey, as you just heard out here at Q Club of Wisconsin. We're hitting on Gary Wolfel, trying to run him down. He's at Bucks Draft headquarters, having been there. The reception can kind of suck in there for a cell phone. So we'll see if we eventually can get him ran down. Now, until we do that, let's talk about a couple of these other players that are be floating around as possible trades, one of which is Jimmy Butler. This has been hot and heavy. The last thing I saw was Sean Devaney saying from everybody he's heard, if he gets moved, it'll be Minnesota tonight. And the key word there is if. I mean, all these big names are out there. The odds they all get moved are zero. So it's just not going to happen. If one of them gets moved, that'll be a good night for us here on the draft show to talk about one big name getting moved. But I mean, realistically, they're probably not going to happen. All right, so Jimmy Butler, what does he do to a team that gets him? Is he a guy that can carry a franchise?
Well, I think if Denver is the roster that he goes to, I mean, they got a lot of young players. He definitely could probably help some of the young players along. And it's obviously going to depend on what comes with it. if the pick is coming, if there's young players, I would do whatever I can not to include Jamal Murray in the deal. If they want Gary Harris, that's fine. Send Gary Harris on his way. Emmanuel Mudiay, you can send him on his way too. I would try not to include Jamal Murray. That would be a pretty dynamic backcourt. But Butler could also play the three too.
Sure
so,
can.
So, I mean, Danilo Gallinari does not look like he's coming back. I've watched a lot of Denver games.
Cares he is coming back.
You know my fascination with Jamal Murray.
Yep.
So I watched a lot of Denver games this year, and he has moments where you think, man, this guy's a superstar. And then he has moments where he looks really, really bad. So I think he'd be a nice – they almost had Wade last year. They are trying to get a veteran to put with their young unit.
What about Jimmy Butler with Minnesota? As Devaney said, he thinks Minnesota is going to be the team if it gets done tonight. Now, I saw one rumor. Now, again, everything's floating around. I saw one rumor that involves Zach LaVine and Chris Dunn both going in that deal to Chicago for Jimmy Butler. Dunn and LaVine both going to Chicago. But that means they keep Wiggins. So now you're talking about Butler, Wiggins.
You saw Dunn and?
Both.
Wow. Because the only report I saw was the number 7 pick. So
clearly that's not enough.
Probably not.
No.
And Dunn's been a disappointment. Dunn's really not shown any true point guard skills. He was kind of a disappointment last year.
Didn't like him coming out last year either.
But anyways, LaVine is hurt. So LaVine's out for, I don't know, he's probably out till Christmas time. So they're going to need someone to fill.
If Bulls aren't winning next year anyhow. They trade Jimmy Butler. Well, it doesn't matter how long he's out.
No, you're right. You're right. And LaVine would be a nice player, and I'm sure Wade would be able to.
But how good is Minnesota, Mike? If Butler is added to what they have, and he knows the system in which he's going to play under with Thibodeau there already, I think that makes Minnesota immediately a playoff team.
I think they're a playoff team too. I thought they were a playoff team this year. They just I don't know. But you another year of Karl Anthony Towns with Wiggins scoring. My problem with them is they don't know how to balance each other's scoring. Like, one night you'll see Wiggins going off, and then they feel like they got to feed Karl Anthony Towns. Well,
Jimmy Butler will be the man immediately upon stepping onto the floor. Rubio now is your floor leader, and again, they're trying to trade him tonight.
Too, right.
But if Rubio stays, it's Rubio, Wiggins, Butler? Aye. Now, again, that's three, and then you got your guy that can play in the post, block shots, and everything else on the backside. That could be tough. Now, and Rubio can stretch the floor a little bit.
And if this is just Dunn and LaVine and it's not this number 7 pick.
Then you get that pick, too.
You get that pick, too, and you can take a Markkanen who even spreads your floor even more. Or you can get Jonathan Isaac, who's another shot-blocking project.
A kid from Florida State, right.
So I actually kind of like that deal if I'm Minnesota. I would do that for Jimmy Butler in
absolutely.
A heartbeat.
Now, Rami, over here, Bulls fan, did not like that deal. At all.
No, he didn't like it for the Bulls.
Because Rami's take is, it was weird, and you got in on it in a commercial break during the big show, was if I trade you Jimmy Butler, then I want somebody that has the potential to be a superstar or is a star already. That's what he wants in return, and he looks at both of those guys and goes, well, neither one is that. Now, if it's Wiggins, that's different.
Well,
if he
that's
Wiggins,
not happening.
Absolutely.
That's not happening.
I agree. But if it's Wiggins, I think Rami's okay.
Yeah, well, obviously. That's a building pull, building block. But that's not happening. But the way – the Bulls liked Chris Dunn last year.
Yep.
And they were ready to make that deal, and they wanted Chris Dunn. They were talking to Boston about Jimmy Butler going there for the number 3 pick so they could grab Dunn. Dunn really didn't impress me anything. I would be more wanting to get that number 7 pick, to be honest with you. If you want to throw that 7 pick and LaVine, I would do that in a heartbeat because this is a deeper draft, in my opinion. There's a lot of talent there. Think about Malik Monk will be there at number 7. That's what I would do. If I was the Bulls, I would try. Or – Bulls need a point guard. Dennis Smith Jr. would be another option there. At number 7.
I like him fine. That's going to be the interesting thing here. So Jimmy Butler's one name throwing out there. LaMarcus Aldridge is another one that just popped up on the radar here in the last 24 hours with the Spurs, trying to shed his contract. Why? Because you want to get Chris Paul. That is a target that has been known to everybody that they want to try and get. They want to get another star to go with Kawhi Leonard. But if you move LaMarcus Aldridge, isn't that all a horse apiece? So you give up LaMarcus Aldridge, get Chris Paul, so now you're still down to Kawhi Leonard and another star player. You haven't added that third star player.
Well, I don't think you necessarily have to add a third star player, but you got to replace LaMarcus Aldridge.
Golden State has 4.
I understand that, but that right there, that trade, or if you trade LaMarcus Aldridge and you replace him with a free agent of Chris Paul, that team's not beating Golden State.
Agreed. That's why I say it's
they're
pointless.
They're not coming close to Golden State.
Agreed. Again, I think the whole thing is pointless. You can keep LaMarcus Aldridge and Kawhi Leonard and add Chris Paul. Okay, well, now we can talk about
the meeting. They're talking about the Cleveland and San Antonio are discussing Danny Green.
Right.
That clears off Danny Green's whatever, $10 million a year.
That's better than J.R. Smith.
Well, you know what? Because J.R. Smith, yes, last year's J.R. Smith was good. This year's J.R. Smith was not. So Danny Green would definitely be an upgrade. I agree with you 100%. And they're just basically trying – they want another big name free agent and getting rid of Danny Green, even though he is probably the best shooter on their team. He really hasn't got the looks this year. He just has not got the looks. They just have not gave him any offense. He's just basically, if I'm open, you throw me the ball, I shoot. And in Cleveland, he'd be able to, you know, expand his game a little bit more. And he's a good defender. But yep. They want to clear out money. I don't think any move they make is going to get them anywhere remotely close to Golden State.
I agree with you. I don't know if there's anybody close to Golden State. Unless, and now mind you, this team doesn't play defense.
Houston.
Yes.
Yep, I'm with
you
on that.
Mm-hmm. I mean, if Houston goes out and gets Paul George or Chris Paul.
If they got Chris Paul or I forgot.
Paul George is another
one. There was
one.
Another point guard. Kyle Lowry.
Yeah.
That's another guy that they. And I understand they moved James Harden to the point guard and their offense was ridiculous. But if you imagine Kyle Lowry and James Harden in the same backcourt.
Or
Chris Paul and James Harden. Yes. It's ridiculous what they could do.
See, the problem I have with that is Kyle Lowry, I could see. Chris Paul's waiting to go play with LeBron, wherever that's going to be. So, and this is going to be the thing here. Chris Paul's going to give away where he's going, I think. If Chris Paul goes to the Lakers, then we know what's about to happen next year. Then that's all setting up for next year. If Chris Paul goes to the Spurs, LeBron's probably staying
Chris Paul could also sign a one-year contract.
Could. Yeah.
Or a 1 year with his option for a second.
That's more likely, I think.
That's definitely more likely.
Yep, that is more likely. So, we tend to agree with you on that. All right, we got to get to a sports flash here. Back at the studios with Mayor Mitch. Again, if you're coming out here to Q Club of Wisconsin, Master Z's right here in Waukesha on Sunset has provided us a Bobby Dandridge autographed basketball to give away, a Chris Middleton autographed picture to give away, too. Once we have our prize box set up with our tickets to hand out, we'll let you know when that starts. Also, we have Great Lakes Dragway passes to give away from Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove. Affordable family fun. Always a good time. And then the Bucks are in the house. You see Philip over here to our left, your right, with his Bucks blue polo shirt on. Got an autograph Rashad Vaughn hat to give away and two tickets to the last opening night for the Bucks at the Bradley Center coming up this year. You just got to drop off either a business card or some way, a name and a number, something like that over there. And we'll draw for both of those prizes coming up after the Bucks make their pick at 17. So if you're interested, head on over to the Bucks stand here and get signed up for that only here at Q Club of Wisconsin in Waukesha. Time now for your Sports Flash with Mayor Mitch.
You're listening to the 2017 Milwaukee Bucks Draft Show on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Welcome back. Steve Sparky Fiverr, Mike Maxey hanging out here at Q Club of Wisconsin. Adam Silver just came to the podium to start this thing. Now we just wait for Boston, or I should say Philadelphia, to make it official. With Markelle Fultz to be the number one pick in this draft. And, Mike, obviously you and everybody else in the country has that right in your mock draft at sportsboys.com. Let's talk a little bit about Markelle Fultz and how he plays into what Philadelphia wants, because I've been saying this all year. I think when you project ahead 3 to 5 years from now, teams that the Bucks will have to deal with in the East, I think, are Boston and Philadelphia.
Absolutely.
I think, that's, you know what that is? That's a return to the 80s for this Bucks organization. That's what this is all over again. Now, back then, they couldn't get over the hump to get to the finals over those two organizations. But, again, for Philly, I think it's all about Joel Embiid's health and Simmons' health going forward.
Well, the Sixers have been trying to shore their guard spot up for several years. They obviously, this whole process, in my opinion, started with the Nerlens Noel selection, and then he got hurt. And then they really wanted D'Angelo Russell. Well, the Lakers surprised everyone and snagged him up. So then they had to take Okafor because he was technically the best available player, even though they should have probably took Porzingis. But and then last year they really wanted a guard. Well, they nabbed the number one pick.
Right.
And they grabbed Ben Simmons. And I guess they're turning him into a guard. So
nope. This is my thing. Okay. So last year, Brown, the head coach over there, said he's not going to be a point forward. He's going to play point guard. It's not just going to be Brandon Ball. He's going to be our point guard. Okay. Well, tell me this. Why are you drafting this dude? Why are you drafting this dude? Why did you trade up to get this dude? If he's going to be your guy, then why did you trade up?
Well,
he's going to play the three, and he's going to be like LeBron and Giannis. He's going to bring up the ball sometimes.
Yeah,
that's what he's going to do.
I'm with you. That's the way I was.
Fultz is going to be the point guard.
That's what cracked me up when they said Giannis is going to be a point guard. I'm like, okay. All right, he might initiate some offense, but he's not running point. There's a difference. Markelle Fultz, you're right. You're probably right that I think I think their free agency is going to dictate on how they use Simmons. If they can grab a J.J. Redick, which I know is one of their targets, they're going to put him in the backcourt with Fultz. They're going to use Ben Simmons.
Touch J.J. Redick with a 10-foot pole. Do you know what J.J. Redick is to a team?
You need shooters on that team. That team needs shooters.
I don't care. You don't want J.J. Redick on a team that isn't going to go try and win a championship. He is bad, bad, bad. You don't want that. J.J. Redick should go play for the Spurs. Should go play for Golden State.
I understand
Cleveland.
That. I understand
not to some that. Team that's trying to build. We've already went through that. I'm telling you right now, if I'm Philadelphia, I don't want him.
Well, I know Philadelphia does want him.
Well, they're stupid.
Well,
call me. I'll tell you.
Well, anyways.
We went through that here.
Fultz is also a perfect complement for Simmons because he can also play off the ball. He's a dynamic scorer. He averaged 23 points a game as a freshman.
Yep.
I mean, I understand it was a terrible team. But you can't put that all on Markel Fultz.
I agree.
He averages over five rebounds a game, over five assists, which means that he's going to get offense or he's going to get rebounds and he's going to push the ball. And Ben Simmons is good running the floor. Ben Simmons is good in the post. Embiid, when healthy, is a top three or four center in this league, maybe even top two. So I think that their process is finally. Josh Jackson might have been a nice pick, but I do not.
We got
think
a pick coming here from Adam Silver. There we go.
With the first pick in the 2017 NBA Draft, the Philadelphia 76ers select Markel Fultz from the University of Washington.
All right, Fultz is the pick.
How funny would that have been if he just said Lonzo Ball?
Dude, I'm hoping the Lakers don't take Lonzo Ball next. That's
well,
what I'm hoping for.
I just saw a little kid walk in with a Lonzo Ball Lakers jersey. I want to know where these kids are getting these things made that fast.
Big baller brand probably selling them outside of the arena as they're walking in.
You think LeVar's out there by himself selling
them? Selling them all by himself.
It's got triple B's right across where the Adidas logo would normally be.
$200 for a kid's jersey.
No, they're easily four.
Jersey.
They're easily four.
Four?
I bet you they're four. Maybe $400 for a big baller brand jersey with Lonzo on it? Yeah, absolutely.
Would surprise me. So Markel Fultz goes to the Philadelphia 76ers.
Not a surprise.
And again, if Embiid comes back healthy and Simmons can play and Fultz is there last year, how much better do they get?
Oh, I think they get good. And if they cannot get a free agent to come there, you run Ben Simmons as your slash point guard, I guess, your quote-unquote point guard, and Fultz is off the ball. Fultz is eventually going to have the ball in his hands a lot. I think that they're going to bring him along slowly, running an offense. They're going to let Ben Simmons do a lot of that. But think about, they're going to be so long, and they got Robert Covington as a small forward.
Like the Bucks.
They're going to be really good in the next couple years. When Cleveland, or I don't know if next year's this is their last year or what, but Cleveland's time is going to be ending here shortly.
It could be over after this year.
You're going to see teams like the Bucks, the Celtics. The Celtics are definitely.
Now, let me tell you my concern. Looking at Philadelphia currently, okay, here's my concern. My concern is the Bucks don't have a guard that can guard that kid right there, folks.
No, they don't.
They don't have that guy. They don't have a guy.
No,
okay?
They don't.
That's my big concern.
That's why Simmons, you go up and you send Jabari Parker wherever, and you get De'Aaron Fox.
Okay, right, but you need more than Jabari. But this is the thing.
Right.
You talk about Giannis and Simmons, I'll take my chances. Let's see what happens, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Giannis is head and shoulders above Simmons.
3 years, maybe Thonmaker's big enough he can handle Embiid. Maybe. Don't know. We'll see. Because Embiid is really polished already.
His post game is
yes,
awesome.
And he can shoot outside.
So
and he blocks shots, and he's got a mouth. So okay, so you got all that going on. So there's that. Now Jabari and Middleton, Philly not have an answer to those two currently, as of right now. They've got three, but that's it. See, and this is where, if Jabari's healthy, there's nobody else in the East that can match up with their starting five from a talent perspective. In 3 years from now, there's nobody there.
Absolutely, absolutely.
From 1 through 5. Now, I'm not saying depth because the Bucks have no bench. But
no.
1 through 5, I still feel good even with what that is. But my concern is that point guard position. I love Malcolm Brogdon. Don't get me wrong.
I do too.
And the comparison is Andre Miller. And I think it's a good one.
It is a very good one.
But Andre Miller can't defend him either. So now you're talking about one of the better backups in the league in Malcolm Brogdon backing up whoever your starter is.
Well, I like Malcolm Brogdon, but I would love to find him a starter better than him so
right.
he could play with the second unit. Absolutely.
I agree.
Absolutely.
He becomes one of the better backup point guards in the league.
Oh, absolutely. And you know what? If there's an injury, he can always go in and you feel confident that he can give you a lot of minutes. So I like that. And you're not worried when he comes in the game because he's so smart and he's so polished running an offense, which I had him as a first round pick last year. And he was a second-round pick. So I've always liked him. I didn't think he was going to be a point guard, though. I really did not. The the way he played at Virginia, he played off the ball because he had to score.
Right.
And they just basically made him into a point guard. And I think he probably had it in him, but I'm really impressed with Brogdon.
So now you look at Philadelphia. Now let's move them aside. Lakers are on the clock right now. And what in the world?
I don't know what is on in the inside.
Markel Fultz has some type of picture on the inside of his suit coat, and I cannot tell what that is. They're zooming in.
It's Washington Huskies.
It's just pictures of his family and him, it says. And it says hashtag F2G, which is faithful to the grind.
Nice.
Well, I'm glad you can hear that.
Good job, Mitch. Letting us know what's going on with the inside of the suit coat. That's pretty cool. I've never seen anybody do that.
No, man. I like him even more now.
Yep. That's good.
Look at that. Give a kiss to mama.
Yep. Love your mama. Okay, so the Lakers are on the clock. Just about about 90 seconds left to go for the Lakers.
Wow, if they don't take Lonzo Ball, I think this place may burn down. LeVar's going to be lighting torches.
Okay.
That'll be a great TV moment.
The draft.
It would be a great TV moment.
This draft turns upside down, though. Because if Lonzo Ball's at three, now
what does the Celtics do?
They're not going to take him.
But Phoenix now, really wants
but
him.
But now Boston all of a sudden sits back and goes, so, all you people, what y'all going to give us? Because everything I've read so far this week, Mike, is they're sitting at three telling people, Jimmy Butler for three? No.
Now, if you're the
Paul
Bulls.
Paul George for three? No.
If you're the Bulls, would you go up? I would go up and get Lonzo Ball in a heartbeat if I'm the Bulls.
Yeah, but there's been rumors all week that people have been offering up star players for them straight up for three, and the Boston has said no.
Well, I can't see. I'll tell you right now, Lonzo Ball, if he were to not go to L.A. and he went to Boston,
I think
LeVar would
I'll tell you what.
LeVar would force a trade.
I'll tell you what will happen. If that happens, because all afternoon it's been speculated that Boston and New York are working on a deal for Porzingis. So that deal is three.
Phil Jackson loves Lonzo Ball, too.
Right. Three, Jaylen Brown, and then they were trying to get another lottery pick. Now, as of an hour ago, that other lottery pick, according to reports, was they were trying to get Minnesota, Boston was, to get them their pick at seven.
I'm nervous. So now I'm nervous for that place. That place is going to burn to the ground.
Now it's 3, 7, and 8. Could you imagine if Lonzo Ball ended up a Knick and not a Laker? Or a Celtic, even better.
Well, could you imagine the conversations between LeVar Ball and Phil Jackson?
They got to take him. I think Magic Johnson's going to take him. Well, I mean, their family loves this organization. Don't you think he'll fall in line to Magic? I don't think LeVar Ball is going to say boo. He's Magic Johnson.
And LeVar Ball will be like Magic. He's almost like the Godfather.
Correct.
It's almost like the Godfather.
I think he'll shut up.
Yeah. You know what? The reason I want – the fact that – okay, they're going point guard here because the fact that they shipped out D'Angelo Russell is a good sign. You're not putting the ball in Jordan Clarkson's hands. I'm sorry. So they're going to take a point guard. Now, it's whether it's Ball or Fox.
I know they love Fox.
I love Fox, too.
I like Fox better.
But his vision is way better than –
Agreed.
His vision is way better.
But Fox is a better scorer.
Lonzo's a better shooter.
True.
The reason Fox is a better scorer is Fox has got that little uncanny ability.
All right, here we go.
To get to the rim.
Here comes Adam Silver with the Lakers pick. Let's see if it's Lonzo Ball. This should be fun.
With the second pick in the 2017 NBA draft, the Los Angeles Lakers select Lonzo Ball.
There we go. I love that pick, to be honest with you. I really love that pick. I just think he's just a perfect fit in L.A. And not just because his dad forced the pick, but I really like this trade.
Mitch, is he getting booed or cheered?
Sounded mixed. I don't know.
I thought there was some booze there, but I couldn't.
Yeah, there were definitely some booze.
I think there was definitely some booze mixed in there. This kid is going to come in his league because of his father, who they just showed on TV again. Is going to come into this league and could be a villain.
He didn't do anything to deserve it. It's so unfair, though. The kid is awesome. He is a good ball player. He's so chill. His dad's a nut, but he is.
Correct.
He is chill. Now, his little brother's a little bit of a nut. Did you see the suit he's wearing tonight?
Yeah, the red one?
Goodness.
Yeah. Whatever. That's fine. That's style.
Look at that. He's got the big baller hat on. Yeah. In Lakers colors. I love it.
Yeah. Great. More airtime for nutbag LeVar Ball. all right. Steve Sparky, Fiverr, along with Mike Maxey from SportsBoys.com. Those are the first two picks, as expected. Fultz to Philadelphia. To Philadelphia. Ball to the Los Angeles Lakers. Now, what does Boston do at three? They've been the center of trade talks for the last 48 hours. What happens with what Boston will do? Will it be a pick they'll keep or will it be a pick they'll trade? We'll talk about that coming up next, live from the Q Club of Wisconsin here on The Fan.
This is the 2017 Milwaukee Bucks Draft Show on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
All right, so we got a trade in the NBA. We were talking about it earlier on as we wait for the Celtics to make their pick. Jimmy Butler, no longer a Chicago Bull. He has been traded to the Minnesota Timberwolves for Zach LaVine, Chris Dunn,
No Zach LaVine.
Yeah, that's what it was.
No, it was Seven and Dunn.
No. Uh-uh. It was LaVine, Dunn, and Seven, I thought.
Oh, it was Zach LaVine.
Yes, thank you.
The first one that Goodman had
LaVine,
did not.
LaVine, wow. Dunn, and Seven. There it is up on the screen right
that's
now.
That's what I got, too.
For Jimmy Butler, and then they swap first-round picks. So the Bulls go up to Seven. Minnesota doesn't lose a first-round pick, Maxie. They get to hold on to their first-round pick. It's not at Seven. They move down, but they're still sitting in the lottery. So
this is true.
That's still a good trade. I love it for Minnesota. I think it makes them a playoff
team.
They're
outside the lottery, but I mean,
yeah,
it's a,
that's right,
I think,
there.
Pick 16 or whatever.
I think it makes Minnesota a playoff team, giving Jimmy Butler to go play with Thibodeau, who he played with in Chicago. He was a Tibbs guy, loved Thibodeau, ripped everybody that came in to coach the Bulls because they weren't Thibodeau. I love the move for Minnesota. And the Bulls, who most people thought, I don't know what just happened here at the Key Club, but we lost the NBA draft.
Oh, no.
Yeah, somebody's got to reconnect the TV or something. Something just happened. We lost all the TVs. It could be the rain. I don't know what it is.
It's raining.
So, Mitch, you're going to have to run the show back there and tell me when somebody's up to pick. You got
okay.
that?
Will do.
All right. Thank you. So, anyways, so this makes them a playoff team, right?
I think so, definitely. I mean, I know it's in the West, but I think they're better than New Orleans.
Yeah.
I think they're probably better than they're definitely better than Denver, even though they made an improvement last year. They should be a playoff team.
Yeah, I think they should be a playoff
team.
Seven
or eight.
Right, and now they still, like I said, they get a pick. But the Bulls go up to seven, and this presents an interesting challenge for the Bulls at seven. Before we get to that, though, Boston's on the clock at three as we wait for them to make their pick. What say you about the Celtics if they want to keep the pick?
I think it's Jason Tatum, and the only reason.
All right, their pick is up right now. Let's hear what Adam Silver has to say.
It's Jason Tatum, sorry.
Okay, thanks. Mitch missed that one. Okay.
Good job, Mitch.
Good job. Well, Mitchell picked this up before the end of the night. Jason Tatum.
Yeah, that's a good
the
pick.
The small forward from Duke, the pick to Boston, as you just stated. So tell me about Jason Tatum and how he fixed it with the Celtics roster currently.
Well, right now their starting small forward is Jay Crowder. This is a big upgrade over Jay Crowder. I know Jay Crowder's been the subject of trade talks. Now, this is an option or an opportunity for Tatum to come in and right away be a contributor. I understand they drafted a small forward last year in Jaylen Brown. He really hasn't been as impactful as they had thought. He didn't see a lot of minutes early on. They decided to throw him at LeBron a little bit in the playoffs just because he had six fouls and they were getting destroyed by LeBron. But I think Jason Tatum is a bigger three. He's 220. I mean, he's a physical, bigger specimen than Jaylen Brown. Not as athletic as Jaylen Brown. So I think you can be able to play him a little bit as a forward, too. If they want to go small with Horford, Horford is their center. If they want to go small with a Crowder and a Tatum on the front court, they could do that. I think his versatility.
Tatum like Jabari?
Kind of.
How you can use him.
Exactly. You can use him as a three and a four. I think his natural position, like Jabari, is a three. But I think he is able to be – I think Josh Jackson is a better player. And I think if he had a better jump shot, he might have went third. But I think Jason Tatum is going to score 18, 19 points for a career. I really do. I think he's just got that knack for scoring.
According to Wojnarowski, apparently rumors heating up Paul George and the Celtics possibly – and a deal coming next. So was that pick Tatum there for Boston, or was that pick there for
Indiana
to make that pick work to get Paul George to Boston? Paul George to Boston, now you have Paul George, Isaiah Thomas, and Al Horford, those three. That's still not good enough to beat Cleveland.
No, not in my opinion.
If that trade happened.
I don't think we understand the influence that LeBron James is on a roster. And then you just get the dynamic scoring of Kyrie, and you add that to it. It's just too great. And right now, their time is still right now.
Phoenix is on the clock. Mayor Mitch, how much time we have left on the clock for
Four
Phoenix?
Minutes.
4 minutes. All right, so we'll take a quick timeout. We'll get a sports flash here for Mayor Mitch, and we'll come back and see what the Suns do at pick number four. Again, if you're just tuning in, Jimmy Butler traded to the Minnesota Timberwolves, Chris Dunn, Zach LaVine, and they flip-flop first-round picks. So the Bulls will be on the clock at number seven in place of Minnesota. Minnesota now will end up being on the clock just in front of the Bucks at pick number 16. Jimmy Butler, now a T-Wolf.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it.
I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.